Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please stay tuned. To get the sermon going, I'm going to need a little cooperation from you, and I'm counting on that. Would you please raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Okay. That's good. That was just practice. Now the real exercise. Look in front of you and lay hold on the Word of God, and then hold that Word of God up. Very good. I am glad that you are still with me. Quite a few years ago, maybe 15, I heard a presentation by a man who had been a high-level executive for CNN. And so he spoke to us about broadcasting, which obviously understood, but he also spoke about Christianity. This man is a committed Christian, a person who takes the Bible as the Word of God, and he spoke to us about the Babylonian captivity, the Gutenberg captivity, of the Word of God. The Gutenberg captivity of the Word of God. And his point was simply this, that we have let ourselves get into this mindset, a wrong mindset, that the living and the active Word of God is confined, is captive between the covers of this bound book. So the Word of God was captive in the lesson from Acts chapter 8. Because the Ethiopian eunuch did not understand the prophetic nature of the Isaiah passage, the good news of Jesus was confined, bound. Well, it wasn't bound. It was in a scroll. Though the good news of Jesus, because he didn't understand the prophetic nature of the passage, was confined, captive, to the print and the words in the scroll. So, the angel says to Philip, go, and that's a great commission word, if ever there were one, and Philip went. And the Spirit says, join yourself to that carriage. In other words, meet them where they are at, and Philip did that. And neither the angel nor the Spirit had said, get yourself into a conversation, but Philip knew to do that, and fortunately, the Ethiopian reciprocated and invited him into the carriage, and they talked about what was on, not Philip's mind, but on the mind of the Ethiopian. And he was struggling with this passage from Isaiah, as you well know, and Philip, starting there, gave him the good news about Jesus. And the end result of that encounter was that the Word of God was not bound, but was shared to the free course, the joy and edifying of one more of Christ's people. Now imagine that story happening today. Let your imagination run wild. What Acts chapter 8 might look like in our digital age. The Ethiopian is being chauffeured. And while he is being driven, he gets out his iPad or his Kindle or his Nook or whatever. And what might he be doing? He might be scrolling through the Bible or Isaiah. He might be investigating Islam or Judaism or Confucianism or whatever ism it happens to be. You can Google and get everything you want to know. He might be checking the stock prices on CNBC. He might be checking left-leaning politics on MSNBC or right-wing politics on Fox News. I mean, he might be doing his email. He might be on a porn site. Although I don't know if a eunuch would do that, but the point is, he can do whatever he chooses to do. And now along comes the modern day Philip. That would be you, that would be me, and we're going down the road with our head down and our focus on our iPhone. We're not being chauffeured, so we're walking and doing whatever at the same time. We might be texting, we might be reading our emails, we might be looking at our crowded schedule, we might be listening to music with those buds in your ear. We're doing whatever it is that we're doing, and we pass right by the stranger and never make human contact. We pass by the stranger and never make human contact. Now, I am not saying that in every contact, in every conversation, you have to tell them about Jesus. All I'm saying is that when we pass by and don't notice the other, we are ruling out the opportunity to perhaps free the living and active Word of God so that the Spirit can do its work in his life or her life, whoever that other is that we meet, and release from that bound and often disregarded volume, the Bible, the good news of Jesus. You can picture, I know you have good imaginations, you can picture in your mind's eye the road that leads from Jerusalem down to Gaza. And today we travel physical roads, we walk physical sidewalks, but today we are also traveling a lot of our time on the information superhighway. And whatever the road happens to be, but especially on the information superhighway, there is a premium, a greater than ever importance on human flesh and blood interaction. A couple years ago, Diane and I went to visit one of our daughters out in Washington, D.C. She's living out there, and it was Thanksgiving time. So on Thanksgiving Day, the family, about a dozen of us, are sitting around the fairly small condo. We're sitting in the living room watching football, rather quiet, when we're watching the football game. And somebody said that Thanksgiving Day afternoon, "I wonder when the turkey is going to be ready." Not pushing, no pressure, you know, I'm just curious about when are we going to eat. And nothing was said. I heard no answer until maybe 10 seconds later, my niece Stephanie said, "In about half an hour." I said, "Wait a minute. There's something wrong with this picture. Wait a minute. We ask in this living room when the turkey is going to be ready, and the kitchen, which is not very far away, gave us no answer. Nothing was said. Stephanie, how do you know that it's going to be in about 30 minutes? And she said, "It's on Facebook." Get this. My family. I love people. My family is sitting in a circle, and sure enough, a good half of them were doing whatever you do, and they were creating their own relationships, fostering their own circle of friends, their affinity group, in disregard to the family and the affinity group that God put us in. There is a premium in this day and age on flesh and blood human interaction. So let me play with the image of the road a little bit. We picture in our minds a road from Jerusalem down to Gaza. We often travel the information superhighway. Jim Powell is an author who has written on postmodernism, and Mr. Powell compares our life today to a different kind of path, walkway, route, and that's the midway in a carnival. Maybe you've some experience with the midway in a carnival. It's that way, that path, that route that goes through the middle of a carnival, and you've got attractions, you've got games, you've got everything on both sides of the midway, and everyone has a huckster, everyone has a carny, everyone has somebody who's trying to get you in to their thing. So, you know, come on in here and play our game and you can win such and such. Oh, come on in here, come over here and look at yourself in the funny mirror. Oh, come on in here and see the ugliest person in the world. You gotta believe me, come on in and you will see the ugliest person in the world. And every carny, every huckster is trying to get you into their thing. And Mr. Powell says that in America today, postmodern America, information superhighway America, that we are living in a carnival of narratives. A carnival of narratives. And isn't that the truth? Everybody has a pitch that they're making. And all roads lead to heaven. The Christian church no longer has a privileged place in American culture. The Bible is a closed book. Biblical literacy is in decline. And the truth of the matter is, in this America where we can make our own realities, we can pick our own friends, we can do affinity groups with whomever we want to do affinity groups. Hey, a lot of people, including Christians, think that this old bound volume is largely irrelevant. I can't imagine that getting into that would do me any good in life, the way I see life, at least. So what are you and I going to do? Whether we're traveling a physical road, a sidewalk, the information superhighway, we are in this carnival of narratives, and we often feel that we are alone. You know, we're one voice against many, and many a day we think our one lone voice is not being heard. So what do we do? What do we modern Phillips do? How do we cut through the clutter of the information superhighway? How do you cut through the clamor of the carnival of narratives to make an opening in somebody's life that the Spirit can unleash, free that good news of Jesus to the joy and the edifying of that person? Well, I think the story from Acts chapter 8 and the rest of the Bible give us some indications of how we can witness in this new and different day and age. Remember, the Spirit, it was the angel, not the Spirit, the angel said, go. And that's a great commission word. Still today, go. Go physically, go electronically, go by any medium that you can use and go. And then it was the Spirit who said, join yourself to that carriage where the stranger is. In other words, meet them where they're at. Now, Philip was not going to somebody in that carriage who was in his affinity group. It was a stranger. And so joining yourself to the carriage, the instructions mean get out of your affinity group, get out of your normal circle of friends, and go to the stranger, go to that person that God is mysteriously putting in front of you, in front of me, and try and strike up a conversation. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work, but see if you get into a conversation. Hey, what's on your mind? Now, in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, what was on his mind? A text of Scripture. How convenient. And that's easy for us to start working on that. But more and more in this day and age, what's on their mind is not a text of Scripture. Remember, this is a bound book, irrelevant in the judgment of many people to their lives. They might be on, who knows what they might be on. But join yourself to the carriage, meet them where they're at. And if they're receptive, don't leave them there. Start working them toward the sharing of your story, of my story. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an account for the hope that is in you, but do it with gentleness and with meekness. And it may be, God only knows, that's up to the Holy Spirit. It just may be that the heart is receptive and the person wants to be baptized like the Ethiopian was. You know, you and I are living in a time where we just automatically assume mass production is the way you go. Everything in our society is mass produced. And so we judge success by masses. You know, if you get thousands of people to an evangelism rally, if you get 20 or 30,000 people, young people, to a youth gathering, if you get millions of people visiting your website, well, the mass tells us, oh, this must be successful. But in this day and age, I think, at least in this mission field, the American mission field, it's one-on-one. One-on-one. You know, we are habituated to think in large numbers, great evangelism goals. But the text tells me, and the rest of the Bible tells me, that it is largely one-on-one. And that is a slow process. And it takes time and patience. It takes an investment of your being. And you can only go as far as you can go to gently lead that person with respect, meekness, 1 Peter 3, to lead them closer and closer from where they are to the story of Jesus. One-on-one takes time. One-on-one means that you go up to the carriage. One-on-one means that you get outside of your affinity group or circle of friends and you meet the stranger that God has placed in front of you. And one-on-one also means that you get to know personally, desperately, the texts of this book. Get to know the texts of the book. At the start of the sermon, I ask you to grab onto the Word of God and to lift it up. But if you go at the Word of God with a sincere humility and with a searching spirit, this Word will grab you. The texts will captivate you. The saints whose stories in this book will be seen as reflecting your story. And most important of all, when you take the Word of God and it grabs you, most important of all, it's the story of Jesus, the story of the suffering servant, the story of the one who gives meaning to your life now and forever, the one who brings you joy, forgiveness, and hope like no midway in a carnival ever could. And when these texts claim you, then you can be a little bit more relaxed about the mission, because it just comes down to sharing the story. In all the carnival of narratives, all these stories, you say, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? And the great relief of knowing the text and being claimed by this story is that, hey, this is my story. It has touched me. And hopefully the Spirit will bless it as I share it with another human being. I am told, and I'm guessing it's true, I can't prove it, mission people can tell me, that in Ethiopia, where the eunuch went, in Ethiopia today, the Mekane Yesu Lutheran Church is baptizing 900 people a day. Those are masses. You know, you just can't confine the Spirit. You just can't take the Spirit and give Him your business plan. You just can't confine Him from any church bureaucracy. The wind blows where it will, and it's happening. Here in this American mission field, people are traveling all sorts of routes, including the information superhighway, and it's a carnival of narratives. And the lay of the land today is high tech, we got that, high tech, but also high touch. High touch by modern Phillips, high touch of people by you, high touch of people by me. And we touch them with a story that has claimed us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.